Well, I certainly appreciate your prayers this evening. You know, I just pray the Lord will help me to give this to you all in a way that would be pleasing to Him and edifying to all of us. I know He's blessed me with it already once or twice. It's amazing when you have to chew over something quite a bit, you know. I'd like to start in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What is the cross? What is it when he's telling us to take up your cross? Is that meaning to take up the sufferings, if you will? He said that if they persecuted me, then surely they're going to persecute you. Is that the cross? Is that the cross that he's talking about? I think it is a result of it, maybe. But the cross represents death. It was an instrument that was used to put someone to death. And it was the instrument that was used to put Jesus to death. And so he set the example of the cross, or dying upon the cross. And he's telling us right here that if we take not our cross and follow after him, that we're not worthy of him. That's pretty deep. I mean, that's not sugarcoating it, or that's not a soft answer, if you will. Take up your cross and follow me. And so what does that mean? What is he telling us to do? The cross is representing death. And then he says, he that finds his life, or in another way of saying is, refuses to die, shall lose it. And he that loses his life, or essentially takes up the cross, it says, for my sake shall find it. So what we have here is that Jesus is requiring something of us. He's requiring of us to die. And what does that mean? Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What does that mean? If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So the corn of wheat, I guess is what it called it, is basically just a seed, if you will, and it's got a body or a shape around it, a husk or a protective shell, if you will, and by itself it will last like that quite a while. I don't know how long. I mean, maybe Brother Ivan could tell us, but It'll last in that form, but it can produce nothing. It'll just be that. And then when its existence is over, that's it. Or that little thing could be planted, and it could essentially decompose And that outward shell, if you will, gets decomposed and it becomes something totally different and new. And plants and grows and establishes roots and becomes a harvest. That it began as one little piece and then becomes, I don't know, maybe thousands of pieces as a result of just that one thing. And the transformation that takes place as a result of that death. I don't know if this would be a factual definition of death, but it's something that I thought about. Is death is ceasing to be one thing in order to become another. So when Jesus is asking us to die, he's essentially asking us to cease from being one thing in order to become another. We talk about a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, you cannot be a new creation in Christ Jesus unless you die. Unless you cease being what you are or who you are or whatever you want to call it, you cannot be that new thing, that new creation in Christ Jesus. So we have to cease from being the one. So the corn of wheat ceased from being that little kernel or whatever it was, and then it grew into a magnificent plant that produced fruit a hundredfold maybe. So Jesus is asking us to die in order for us to become something new. So, you know, it's not just that Jesus is asking us to die or take on this suffering and this persecution and this evil of life or whatever and just bear it and burn under it, but he's producing something in us. He's bringing out life in us. It's not just a beating down, but it's a making us new and establishing something wonderful out of our lives as a result of this death that he's asking us to partake in. Another example I was thinking about that still kind of really just baffles my mind is how a caterpillar can become a butterfly. You know, it really is a beautiful picture of what the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. I think of a scripture, and I don't even have it, but it just came to mind where worm Jacob, I think the scripture makes reference to the worm Jacob, you know? And I don't know, I think about it and, you know, really our lives without Christ would be a picture of that, something very low and ugly, if you will. You know what I mean? A little caterpillar or a worm. But he wants to produce something very beautiful and magnificent out of our lives if we're willing to go into that little cocoon or whatever it is and to cease from being that one thing in order to become another. And that is what God wants to do in you and me, is he wants to produce something magnificent in our lives, but it comes at a cost. And that cost is the death. How do we die? You know, it's easy to talk about, yes, you know, take up your cross and follow me and die, you know, die on that cross. Well, what does that mean? You know, some people that don't really understand all this Bible talk, if you will, or spiritual lingo, and they're thinking like, what are you saying, die? You know, you telling me to commit suicide? You telling me to kill myself for the cause of the gospel or for Jesus? You know, that some people do that? That they sacrifice themselves as some spiritual ritual to obtain some great prize at the end? But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. It's a death, but it's not a suicide. We are dying to ourselves, but we're not committing a suicide. And so how do we die? So Romans 8 and 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. So essentially what is that saying is, if you just continue after the flesh and live according to the flesh, you're going to be that corn of wheat. This stays a corn of wheat and eventually just dies off and doesn't become anything else. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that word mortify is put to death. So if ye through the Spirit, so it's not all by ourselves or by gritting our teeth or the strength of our hands, or it's not by our power or by our might, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. So by or through the Spirit of God, we mortify the deeds of the body. What are the deeds of the body? The works of the flesh, right? Real quick, we'll mention what those are. The works of the flesh are these. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And I'm sure there's probably another list that we could read of similar things. That is what we're mortifying or putting to death. By the Spirit or through the Spirit of God, we're putting those things to death. And if we do, we shall live. So, Romans 6 and 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Here's that death again, right? We become dead, or our flesh, dead to the flesh. I was thinking about the term, how people would say, you're dead to me. That's essentially saying, like, you no longer exist to me. I'm not recognizing you. I'm not acknowledging you in any way. You're dead to me. And I can think of it in the same form in this, in that sin is dead to us. It's not a part of our lives. It's not a part of our existence anymore. It's dead to us. We're putting that to death in order to bring new life into our lives. And so, how shall we who are dead live any longer therein? We can't. We can't be new creations and still live like a caterpillar. We have to die to that. And we're going to read verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. Amen. So that body of sin, or that body of death, if you will, you know, people make reference to the flesh, and you can say, okay, crucify the flesh. That means I got to kill the flesh, right? In order for me to be holy or to walk in newness of life, some people would say you have to wait to get to heaven in order to be freed from your flesh. But that's not the word of God. You can die to your flesh right here and now and walk in newness of life through the Spirit of the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's right now. That's not someday from now. That's today you can have that. So Matthew 16 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I was asking us, You know, how do we die? How do we crucify the flesh? It says right here, deny himself. So we have to be willing to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to put self to death and live unto God. And so essentially what that is saying is that we no longer walk in accordance to our own will or our own intentions. I think of the scriptures where it says that everyone did what was right in their own minds or according to their own imaginations. The Lord does not want us to walk like that. He doesn't want us to live in that way. But he wants to crucify that, and so that we can then focus on his will and the imagination of his path or his plans or his purposes for our lives, and crucifying the flesh and the deeds thereof, and taking on the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, and those things that come as a result of the Spirit of God walking in and through us. That is what the Lord wants to do in our lives. But it comes through us denying ourselves. And it's not, again, it's not me denying myself in the sense that I just grit my teeth to it. We got to really get that. I think a lot of people, and I did struggle with it a long time. I grit my teeth for years trying to fulfill holiness in the scriptures. But it wasn't until I really allowed the Holy Spirit to take control in my life and give me power and grace to walk in newness of life that I found victory. In the flesh, we don't find that victory. We may find little successes along the way, but ultimate victory comes through walking in the Spirit and having the Spirit walk in and through us. Matthew 27. Starting in verse 40. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. So Jesus is on the cross, and everybody's looking on at him, and they're saying, you know, this was the man that healed everybody, and this was the man that did all these mighty deeds, and he's sitting up on the cross, and he was supposed to be the king of Israel, and he's on a cross. I believe Brother Ivan alluded to some of this morning, and it was disappointing to many of them. What are you doing on the cross? Get down off the cross. They mocked him and said, why don't you that builds the temple in 3 days, come on down from the cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know, a lot of people could tell us that. Get off the cross. Stop denying yourself. Stop sacrificing. Stop taking it so serious. Get off the cross. But you know, if Jesus had come down off the cross, what would that have represented? It wouldn't be a very good example to us. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, and here he gets off the cross, that would be a representation of his own will. That would be him walking in self. But in the garden, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, if this cup can pass from me, Lord, or Father, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But yet these mockers would suggest that he ought to get off the cross. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have mockers that tell you, get off the cross. Don't die to yourself. Don't take it that serious. Don't go that far. Why are you doing that? And really all it is that you're a reproach to them. Because they don't want to take it that far. They don't want to take it that serious. They don't want to die. They don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to die to the things that they want to do. They want to have Jesus, but they want to do what they want to do still. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. I thank the Lord that he didn't come down off the cross. He died to himself. And that death that he produced on that cross through the will of God produced how many seeds? I mean, how much of a harvest transpired as a result of that? It really is magnificent to see what God has done. And it's a glorious victory. You know, to me, the people that talk about salvation and it's just God accepting us for how we are and overlooking our flaws and allowing us to just be what we are, to me, that does not sound like victory at all. That doesn't sound like deliverance. That doesn't sound like salvation. I'm still in my sin, and that's okay. That's going to be good. To me, that sounds like a failure. That's not how God began. That's not how Adam and Eve began. And so for God to leave it less than that, to me, it sounds like a failure. But he did not do that. He didn't leave it at that, but he took it back to where it was and brought glorious victory to us so that we can dwell in his presence without fear because of the change that he's produced in us. Not because he's just overlooking things, but it's because that he's provided a cleansing, a renewing. He's allowed us to die to ourselves and become new in Christ Jesus. And we can be presented in his presence. That's victory. But it comes at a price. We must die to ourselves. Just to reiterate the fact, let's go to Mark chapter 10. And I really feel sorry for this guy because he gets used a lot. But it is a very good representation of what the Lord is wanting us to do in our lives. And it's not about the thing. It's just about the commitment. It's about the death, the surrendering of ourselves into the Lord. And in this particular man's case, we read in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love that. The young man came to Jesus and said, what can I do to be saved? And the Lord told him, I went, all right, well, do the commandments, you know. And he says, well, all that I've done, what lack I yet? And I'm very thankful that he knew that there was still something lacking there and that he was willing to examine himself before the Lord and say, what do I lack yet? And I love the fact that it says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I think it bears for us to notice that Jesus loves us. When he's beholding us, and there's something that he's asking of us or requiring of us, that he's saying unto us, son or daughter, this needs to die. This needs to be mortified. And so here this young man comes before the Lord and he says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. So right after Jesus tells him that, he tells him what we've been talking about, to take up his cross and follow him. So that was a piece of the cross for him. That was something that needed to die. And like I said, it doesn't matter about what it was that Jesus was asking him to give up. And many of us, I feel, would find that very difficult to do. I mean, I'd just be honest. If he was standing here today and told you to sell everything that you owned, and there was no promise of a meal the next day, and you were just going to follow him, and you were going to rely on faith in him, that's not an easy commitment. You know, we can beat the man up, but that's not. But that is essentially the faith that Jesus wants us to have in him. And I believe that if he requires it of us, he's going to give us the grace to walk in it. And so when he required this of this young man, he was giving him the grace to walk in it. But that is essentially what Jesus is asking of us to do. To be able to lay ourselves down, crucify ourselves, or the wants and the desires and the wills and all those things all combined. And it's not so much that we're scrapping our hopes or our goals or our dreams or our desires in life. It's not that he's saying that you can't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan of the things that you'd like to accomplish in life. But basically what it's saying is that we cannot hold up anything above him or in place of him. If that is there, then that's an idol unto us. And it's going to become a hindrance to us in our lives, and that's not going to be death. In order for us to die into ourselves, we have to be able to release all that into God. And yes, we have our plans and we have our purposes and desires and the things that we'd like to accomplish in our lives, but we're willing at the word of the Lord to scrap it all. Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And having that openness in our hearts before God to allow him to interrupt our lives. If we're not willing to do that, then there's a lacking on our part to die. It's not necessarily easy, but it is freeing. It is truly freeing, and it's hard to really explain it. What comes as a result of being able to just die? I was thinking while I was sitting down during service, and the Lord reminded me of something that took place in my life, and this isn't meant to be an embarrassment to me or even a lifting up of me at all. But there came a time in my life where I literally thought I was going to die. And I remember praying and asking the Lord to save my soul before I died. I always thought somehow that I was going to have a deathbed conversion. I was going to be on my deathbed and I was going to pray and the Lord was going to save me, and that was how I was going to enter in. That, or I was going to do some extravagant deed and rescue somebody from the grips of death and die myself and somehow be a hero, and that ought to be enough, right? But that was my young mind. But I prayed, and I asked the Lord, I thought I was going to die. The member of the person or whatever that was about to take my life was still there. And I was praying. And while I was praying, the next blow hit. And I thought for sure I was done. And I think he did too. My eyes opened and his eyes opened and we were looking at one another. And I don't know what he saw. But I have to believe that he saw the Spirit of God on me. I believe the Lord saved my soul and delivered me that day. And he brought it about that person left, and by the hands of God and the glory to God that I lived. But you know, as a result of that, I died that day. I really did. I died, and a new life sprung forth. It was different then. It was not the same anymore. You know, I got to the new place that I was going, and I mean, it was a new lease on life. I was free, and I was just glorifying the Lord. I was ready to hit the ground running. And I ran into opposition. I ran into difficulties. But there was something that miraculous was that they couldn't touch me. None of that could touch me. Because the worst thing that they can, you know, bring about was the threatenings of death. But I already died. You can't kill me twice. I'm dead. I shouldn't even be breathing right now. And so every breath that I breathe and every day that I live is unto the Lord. And if He desires to take me, then thank the Lord. And I mean, early on, it was just like, yeah, and that would be a blessing. I won't have to do all these years, you know? But it really, the sting, the power, the force of it wasn't there. Because you can't kill me twice. I've already died. I don't belong to myself anymore. I'm not living for myself anymore. My life is for the Lord. I live unto God. I think of Paul, how he says, I am crucified with Christ. That man walked into persecution. The Spirit of God is telling him, they're going to lock you up, Paul. They're going to persecute you. You're going to suffer. And he walked into it. But it was because he already died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's the whole blessing of it. Is that we die into ourselves, but we don't just die and cease to exist. We are living sacrifices unto the Lord. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. So yeah, I may be dead to myself, but I'm living unto Christ, or I'm living unto God. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live not... let me read it. Galatians. I believe it is. Galatians 2 and 20 maybe. Yeah. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what the Lord did for me. He lived in my life. And the life that I lived was faith in Him. And He enabled me to walk in newness of life. Is the death a one-time occurrence? You know, a lot of times when a person goes down to the altar and they give their heart to the Lord and they're pouring it all out and they're dumping out all the burden that's been weighing heavily upon them and that's just been, a grief, a shame, unsatisfactory existence, if you will. There's just that feeling or that need that knows I lack something yet. I need something in my life. I need something. And they go to the altar and they're at that point, and I can't stress it enough. The Lord is dealing with your heart at any point in time in your life. Listen to it right then. Don't put it off. for another time later on when you're home and you're by yourself or whatever. Don't let the devil lie to you that way. When the Lord is dealing with your heart and he's speaking to you right then and there, then listen to him and let him work with you and let him deal with your heart and bring you forward, because that, it's at that time that you're going to be ready and willing to pour your heart out, to give him everything that you got. You're going to be willing and ready to, I need you, Lord. I need deliverance. I need salvation. I need you to wash me and cleanse me and make me different. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to have these things in my life anymore. They're bearing me down. They're weighing me down. They're destroying me. They're eating at me day after day, and I just got to be free of it. Let him deliver you. And in that moment, you're going to have to die. And you're going to say, Lord, I give it all to you. Lord, I'm a living sacrifice unto you. I'm willing to die to self and to live unto God. And you walk away from that, and the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. And you walk away, and you just light, and it's a glorious victory in Christ. You died. Thank the Lord. But now you got to live. You know, many people would have us to believe that it's right there, that it's done, it's finished. No matter what happens after that point, you're good to go. But that's not the scripture. We live unto God. We have a life to live. We're living sacrifices. We're not a dead sacrifice, but we're living sacrifices. And so something has to take place in a day-to-day basis. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. And this is Paul. Let's see. Starting in verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? This is Paul saying to the Corinthians. Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? And he's talking to them about the resurrection of the dead. If the dead raised not, then what is the point? And he's telling them, why do we even stand in jeopardy every hour? And he says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. So we've been talking about taking up our cross and dying for the Lord. We were at the altar and we died. We sacrificed it all, but it was all in our heart. It was all in our mind. But we have to walk away from there and live. And when you walk away from the altar and you go to your home or you go to your job that day or that next day or that 3 days from then, you're going to have to make a choice to die again. Because something is going to present itself, an opportunity for sin, and you're going to have to deny it. Deny yourself and follow the Lord. You're going to have to die again. And, you know, many people would have us to believe that this, I die daily, was Paul saying that I sin daily and I need the Lord to deliver me daily. But no, he dies daily in that he denies himself every day, the temptations that come his way, and he refuses it, and he mortifies the flesh and lives unto God every day. And that's how we have to be. We have to wake up every day and live unto the Lord. And make a choice to die to ourselves and live unto God. That is the way. Amen. It doesn't just happen all at the altar and we're all done. We live this life in Christ. Luke chapter 9. 9 and 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, again, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. and follow me. And so it's an active dying into self. Day by day. It's not all at one time. It's a continuous thing that we give ourselves into the Lord and we become willing to sacrifice our own wants or desires, the temptations of the world or whatever. But what if we don't want to die? And I really think that this is where many people they don't follow Jesus. It's where it's like where the rubber meets the road kind of a deal. Is when he says that we got to die. And people were like, I don't want to die. I like these things that I do, or I like my life. Luke 14. Luke 14 and 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So if you refuse and you don't want to die, then you won't be saved. You won't be able to partake in the heavenly kingdom, the eternal glory with Christ Jesus, because you chose not to. Because you determined that you didn't want to go. But if you don't want to die, you can't be new. If you're unwilling to mortify the flesh or to mortify or crucify self, then you can't be new. You can't be a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can't be delivered. You can't be freed from your sin. But if you're willing to deny yourself and to surrender your heart and your life into the Lord, His Word says that He will deliver you and make you free, and He'll be a Savior unto you. And I believe it even goes beyond that, and there's a promise in the Scriptures of bringing you or giving you or providing you grace sufficient for your times of need. And so when you come across those obstacles that we talked about, that you will come across. Jesus was on the cross and they told him, get off the cross. They tempted him to get off the cross. And we will be tempted as well. But his grace is sufficient for us. And I'll tell you that there's no sting when you've already died. It's freeing. I don't know how else to say it, you know. When you've become a living sacrifice unto the Lord, death no longer has a sting for you. Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He's saying that he's dead to the world, and the world to him. And I pray that we would be able to say the same thing. That, you know what? I'm dead to you, or you're dead to me. I don't want any part of you anymore. I don't want any part of the world or the things thereof. I don't want any part of the flesh and the carnality that comes with it. I don't want any part in the list that is mentioned here in Galatians chapter 6. I don't want any part of that. I don't want it in my life. I don't want that cancer, if you will, eating away at my life and my existence. But I want to be free in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and 2. Well, I'll read 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I just want to remind us of this cloud of witnesses that we talked about. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So here we have a list of different ones that quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. People who walked, essentially taking up their cross. They were essentially dying into themselves and living unto God, that they were willing to go through these things. Paul spoke of it in that the persecutions that they endured was for the cross' sake or for the obedience of living for God. And so let us lay aside every weight. This is verse 1 again. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so my prayer for you and for me is that we would also, for the joy that is set before us, endure the cross. That we would be willing to die unto ourselves and to live unto God. That we would be willing to sacrifice ourselves and be a living sacrifice unto God. Not I'm going to somehow die in desperation of delivering somebody else from death. But a dying unto myself and living unto God, and that I'm willing to live this life, I'm willing to live this gospel truth with my life in the presence of others and be willing to die unto myself daily and making decisions day by day to follow the Lord, that I choose Christ. I choose the Word of God. I choose the will of God over and over and over again in my life. And I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to do it the next day by the grace of God. I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to deny myself and follow Him. Amen. For the joy of what He's offering unto me. Not just the eternal glory, but the freedom from sin and the burden that comes with it, and the pain and the agony and the shame that comes with it. To be free of all that is really worth the death. The life that God gives us, the new life that He gives us, far exceeds the life that we have of our own. I can readily testify to people that my life in prison was better than my life before prison. Because of Christ and the work that He did in my heart and in my life. And it was not without problems. It wasn't without difficulties and stresses and things like that. But somehow the Lord, the grace of God in me and His power of His Spirit working through me helped me to endure those things where it was a blessing still. It was a freeing and a deliverance. And so the blessing in God and the blessing in serving in the Lord isn't just for eternity when we get into eternity and we finally make it into heaven, but He can bless your life right now. But you're not going to know it. You're not going to experience it until you're willing to die. And you're not going to get the full brunt of it unless you die. You know, it's you can't get your toes into it. You got to immerse yourself. You know, I had just thought about it. You know, baptism is not a get your toes in the water baptism. It's a full submersion because of the death that needs to take place. All of it has to die for the new life to come forth. And so that's what the Lord wants to do in you, and that's what He wants to do in me. I'm thankful for the cross, and I pray that the Lord would help me to walk the cross day by day, to choose Him every day. And every opportunity where the devil might present something to me, I pray the Lord would help me to choose Him every time and to die into myself. I appreciate your attention tonight. I appreciate your prayers. I want to serve the Lord.